Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Adam Kinney, an independent design developer currently focused on Windows 8, a former Microsoft evangelist, a truly cool guy. Adam, how are you?
I'm great, especially after that very nice introduction. Thanks.
Well, you're certainly welcome. And it's been a long time, and I'm glad to have you back. But before we go any further, I want to introduce John Galloway, who needs no introduction, technical evangelist for Microsoft, and another truly cool guy.
Oh, you know, I was on pins and needles if I was going to be a cool guy, too. So I'm glad that worked out.
I'm changing this to yet another cool guy instead of yet another.
There you go. Perfect.
So, Adam, the last time that we spoke, you were beginning to look more and more at HTML5, JavaScript, and Windows 8. Has that been the trajectory, or what are you working on now?
Yes, that is correct. I think last time we spoke, it really was, I was getting into HTML5 stuff. And then now, with everything that's happened with Windows 8, the WinJS framework, and the way the tools have gone, I am firmly planted in that realm right now.
So I'm in big trouble because I have a couple of HTML guys on the phone. I'm the lone XAML voice, but that's just as well because I'd really like to talk about WinJS and Windows 8.
Well, great.
So let me start you off with the question that I ask everybody who's working in Windows, which is when folks ask you, should I do this in XAML or should I do this in JavaScript? Do you have a definitive answer?
Definitive answer, it's always different per person, right? I think that if you already know XAML, then that's great. You get C#, which is a great language. But if you are a web person where you've spent a lot of time in HTML and CSS and JavaScript, then WinJS is the perfect. It's the perfect way to get into writing apps for Windows 8.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's too early to start arguing with your guest.
No, right from the start. Think of this as one of those shows where chairs are picked up and thrown across the stage.
You're actually late, John.
So, you know, it's funny. My roots are in HTML, JavaScript, you know, web stuff. And then I got into Silverlight and did a little WPF. And then kind of got back into web stuff. But, you know, my focus with web stuff is not hugely like HTML5 and client app specific. It's more kind of like delivering HTML and then some Ajax-y stuff. But so anyhow, what I found when I started doing Windows 8 dev, I chipped in on some open source projects, and there were some that were C# XAML and some that were JavaScript HTML. And I felt that, you know, my C# HTML or XAML skills, like immediately it was like, okay, I just wrote an app. Like I didn't really have to make any changes. It was the same basic model. But I got confused. I mean, there were a few things that were kind of uncanny valley-ish for me with HTML and JavaScript. One being that there's a bunch of like little special, you know, Microsoft or Windows 8 attributes and, you know, kind of different things. So that was one. And then another is that it very clear, I mean, it is a local application and not a client server web app. And so anyhow, I ended up just going back mostly to C# and XAML for dev. It seemed like kind of smoother. Do you find that, I mean, for you, does it feel like a smooth fit, or does it, you know, take some thought to say, okay, now I'm working in Windows, JavaScript, HTML, now I'm web, you know?
Yeah. So in my mind, they're very different as far as writing a WinJS app compared to writing an HTML5 app. And I say that as like, you know, one that will run anywhere. And you do, when you're working in WinJS, you do have to learn the application model. And also I like to, you know, really try and take advantage of WinJS as much as possible. So using the framework, it is a different way to write the app, I would say, but I think the thing that I really enjoy, and this is my focus, is working on UIs. I like the fact that my CSS 3 knowledge carries over here and runs really well. And that's the thing that really has sold me, I think, on this is I like C# better than JavaScript because I kind of like a lot of the bonuses you get with that. Although there are times, especially building UI elements, that the openness of JavaScript, the way you can just, you know, add any property when needed, that type of stuff is nice. But really building UIs, I like using HTML and CSS better than the XAML UI system.
Well, and I can absolutely agree on that because that's been my main complaint over the years with XAML is that they just the whole styling system doesn't fall like CSS. It's just once you get it is a really nice way to style an app. And it's very, very terse, but very easy to read. And the whole style system in XAML is a lot more tool driven and not easy to write and read.
So, Adam, if you're doing this work, especially with CSS 3, Microsoft is saying that Visual Studio 2012 is greatly enhanced for that. Are you finding that it's a good enough tool to use for building applications?
Yeah, well, so good enough is right. I mean, if you look at the new DOM Explorer that comes with Visual Studio 2012, it's really great as far as debugging what the HTML is, you know, the HTML that's been added dynamically, what rules are being applied. It's like if you've ever used Firebug, it's like the Firefox add-on of Firebug just added right into Visual Studio. And that's been really great, especially with the fact that Visual Studio is written on the desktop and your Metro app is running in the Metro start screen land. So once you have that up on two different monitors, the kind of highlighting that the DOM Explorer does as well is really useful. But an even better tool is Expression Blend, or they release it as Blend for Visual Studio now. But what that adds, the next level, is once you load up your WinJS project in Blend, you get this thing called Interactive Mode. And that's just awesome, because what that does is it runs your app. So that means everything that's, you know, dynamically output is running on the design surface, and then you can edit the CSS right there in line. So the difference being, if you're doing something like the DOM Explorer in Visual Studio or Firebug, you can run and test and debug. And then, like, often I would have a little notepad and I'd be like, okay, that padding should be 20 pixels on the left and not 18. But when you're running in Blend, you can actually edit the files right there and then it will update on the design surface. And that's just killer. It's been really awesome to work with.
What kinds of things have you been building?
So I've been working on kind of an array of apps, nothing that is public yet. So one that I worked on was kind of a long term, I would say more of like a research project where we were really figuring out how Windows 8, how to build a software on Windows 8. And then some other training material. And then also I've been working on some apps for myself as well. So it's been kind of a nice range, but it's been a good experience. Although, my first recommendation was don't try and build something huge on the developer preview, even though they said not to do that. We did do that. And of course, when the framework changes, you have to rewrite a lot of stuff. But anyways, it's been a good run.
What are some of the things that you find most different as far as the like programming model for somebody that's moving, you know, somebody that is experienced with building HTML, JavaScript apps? You know, and even maybe with a focus on very client-side, you know, local storage and all that kind of stuff, moving into Windows 8, like, what are some of the biggest differences?
Okay, so that's the first one jumps right into my mind. The fact that you are writing HTML and CSS, and you are writing it for one browser, makes things very, very easy. Because it's just IE10, you know, so you can look specifically for what they're doing. I think that's a really big change. I always feel like I'm cheating. I'm just like, yeah, it works. Okay. And it works in Snapped View and I'm done. You know, it's not like, does it work in every browser the same way? That's a really big one.
Let me interrupt you there. You confused me a little bit. You said you're writing for IE10, but if you're writing a Metro application, and because I don't work for Microsoft, I get to call it a Metro application. If you're writing one of those, are you writing for IE or is it running outside of a browser?
It's using the IE as the rendering engine. So any CSS that you are using, it just depends on how it works in IE10, if it will run right in your Metro app. So that's the first thing I think that makes it fun in that sense. The other difference is something that you touched on. You know, you are dealing with an application lifecycle. I was fortunate to spend, you know, a fair amount of time with Windows Phone 7 learning the application model and the navigation model, as far as having a frame and kind of subpages that are loaded. And a lot of that knowledge has really carried over as well. So something where you're writing kind of like an open web HTML5 single page application, some rules are the same and some are different. That's not a very clear answer, but some of that knowledge helps as well. As far as kind of, you're not loading up separate pages, you're not doing top level navigation. Instead, you're loading pages, or kind of, it's very modular is how it runs.
And is that when you're building your applications, is that what you're doing? You're keeping a frame and then injecting pieces into that frame rather than navigating from page to page?
Yes, that's right. So you could, well, I think technically you could do like top level navigation, but the way the framework is built, and there's just a lot of benefits to maintaining a single page. One of those being like memory context. If you refresh the page, you'd get a page flash, and then you'd have to reload everything from memory, or you'd have to reload it back into memory. So a single page allows you to do a lot more application-like things.
And does that follow on the XAML side as well, or do you think that's specifically a HTML JavaScript?
Well, that's, you know, it actually makes doing like web development more like writing a XAML application, where, you know, you're not totally wiping the screen every time you load in a new subpage or something. So it makes it more similar.
Okay. If folks are sitting there and they're convinced, they're ready to go, what's the right learning path for them? Where should they start?
What I've done is really, you know, there's the Windows Dev Center. It says, right now it still says Metro Style App Development. I'm sure that name will change later. But on that site is where you get all the tools and the resources there. The big thing is the API specification. That's what I've been reading through. It's kind of bare in some areas, but the other thing is the sample pack. And the sample pack has like 300 different samples and all the different languages. And that kind of, they've done a good job showing off how to do certain features. You kind of have to learn the SDK framework first while you're debugging the code. But otherwise the samples are great. So yeah, that's the main site that I've been to.
And you spend your evenings reading the API documentation, huh?
Yeah. Well, hey, and the other thing that makes this so fun is the fact that because it is JavaScript, when you add that WinJS reference to your application, you actually can see the source code for the WinJS framework. So, I mean, I've used that as well to debug like how these things are working. You can just look at the source code right there.
For somebody that's trying to imagine this conceptually, like there's this underlying Windows core, right? And then there's, you know, C# XAML view on top of it, and then the HTML and JavaScript. Does somebody really need to worry about that, or how is that all fitting together?
You mean like the integration with the operating system?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so it's very clear when you're referencing objects. It's either in the WinJS library where it's part of the JavaScript framework, or it's some assembly, or not assembly. Well, yeah, I guess some type of namespace that starts with Windows. And then that's when you know that you're making a native call. So, and that's really the thing that I like about this is, you know, I've mentioned wanting to use JavaScript and HTML for the UI, but in this, in one of the projects that we did, we actually used C++ libraries to do some of the more complicated logic that we needed to. And also some of the people working were just more familiar with C++. So it was, you know, the integration between having a WinJS application calling into C++ libraries was great. Like that's where I feel like I always kind of have a C++ library as a backup if I need something more powerful than I can do in, or easier than I can do in JavaScript.
And are those overlapping skills, or does that apply only to a larger organization that's going to have separate C++ and JavaScript developers?
Well, I think, it depends on the developer where, for me, it's kind of like the option. It's the fact that you could do that. You know, if you really do like C#, you could write your service layer in C# and then write the UI layer in WinJS, you know, if you wanted to do something like that. So I think it's something that you may see in bigger applications just because different developers may enjoy C# or C++ more, because, you know, there's always some bias towards JavaScript as not being a full language or something like that.
But from a design point of view, you were saying that you prefer CSS3. So can you talk a little bit about what advantages that brings and maybe just ground us a little bit in CSS3 fundamentals?
Well, so I think something like CSS3, a lot of what you get, I would say, or the first things that you notice would be the different layouts, where previously you kind of had to do a lot of tricky float action or something like that to line stuff up perfectly. And I say line stuff up perfectly, meaning with a Photoshop composition or something, you know, the design. Mm-hmm. And so with CSS3, you get stuff like the Flexbox, which is kind of like a stack panel in some ways, if you're talking about the XAML world. You get a grid, which is similar to a grid in XAML. But those type of extra layouts, there's also like table layout and multi-column and all sorts of extra ways to kind of smartly lay out your objects. And there, if you think about like a XAML grid, one of the things that I liked about it, as opposed to the old HTML table, was the fact that the grid row was a value, like a value of a property. It wasn't like its actual location within its parent node, if you remember how an HTML table works. So that was a great thing that the XAML grid did. And that the thing is that also works with a CSS grid. So it's just a value of a property. So say you have something like a full view application, and then the user drags it over to be in the snapped view. That's where it's pinned to the side of the screen. It's like 368 pixels wide. Just by changing CSS values, you can redesign that to fit within that tall, narrow space. And you're not moving elements around or anything. It's just all done through CSS. So that's a nice thing. A big thing is about the layout. The other thing is around animations. If you're using like the transitions, then they're hardware driven. So they're fast and performant and great. There's a lot more in there. But as far as like selectors, being able to select different elements easier. But really, it's CSS3, I would say, is kind of like what I always wished CSS2 could do. So it's really nice to be able to use it. And like I was mentioning, you're using it confidently because you know it's IE10 that the user has rendering your page, so it's going to run.
So it sounds like you're having just too much fun.
Yeah, I am. I mean, that's, you know, I kind of went through a phase where I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next, because I spent a lot of time with Silverlight, and then after that I moved on to HTML5, kind of open web applications, and that was a great learning experience. But you know, there's kind of, like I mentioned, the fact that you're kind of cheating, because it's really easy to write for one browser and you get to access the operating system. You know, the API is there to make different calls, like something like location or some system folders, user folders, that type of stuff. The fact that you can access the operating system, and then, of course, the store, because the store is a great way to monetize the work you do.
Yeah, hopefully with 600 million customers.
Yeah, the number just gets bigger and bigger.
I just made that number up. I have no idea what
true. Well, I think actually, I think it used to be like 450 million, but I guess it's grown. So that's good.
Well, if I'm within an order of magnitude, I consider it correct.
Yeah, good job,
John.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think this pretty much covers things. It's yeah, it's very interesting, and I you know, honestly, I think you've talked me into taking a closer look at HTML, as you know, that development paradigm. The CSS side of it is really nice. You know, do you think I had one other question, which is, do you think that it's likely that people will build, you know, HTML apps that will be both out on the open web and Windows 8? Like, does it seem likely that you could build apps that can switch back and forth, or a common layer?
Yeah, that's another thing that a lot of people have been bringing up, is how can I write it for both? And I think you can. And I think that's, you know, there's like a certain percentage of reusable code there. The thing that is definitely going to be different will be the application model. Just responding to the life cycle, you know, did my app just go to sleep? That type of stuff is not going to happen on the web. But all the assets, all the CSS that you do, minus the fact that you'd have to write a little bit more for older browsers, but all that HTML, you can do, you know, you can write so it runs in both places. You could not use the WinJS controls and just, you know, write up, output the HTML yourself. The other thing is I did do an experiment where I took a jQuery application. It was like a single page application that I worked on. It was an infographic. And I just tried to plop it in a Metro app shell to see how well it ran. And the only thing that like really got in my way was some of the safe HTML, the way that the Metro style sandbox is really shut tight. I had to make sure that I was using jQuery, so it was like one way I was instantiating an element was just via a string. So like inserting a string as a HTML element was caught as an exception, but I was able to write around that. So with a few changes, it ran right away. So I think it's possible, and I think a lot of people will do that.
Would you picture some, you know, like, I don't know, some library or some, you know, some things built on top of it that make it easier to do that?
I think you could. I mean, I've been thinking about just like trying to figure how, since it's such like a mix-in type, just adding on to the whatever objects you have, or I was just trying to think of like if there was a framework that you could write that you could just kind of add to a project that would rewrite some of the methods or the functions to reroute them to the spot they should be in. I think that maybe you could do that, but I don't know. I haven't spent a ton of time there. So, but I'd love it if, you know, somebody else did it. It'd be great.
Yep.
So. Now you spoke, you know, half an hour and you haven't said anything about jQuery. Is jQuery a player in the Windows 8 development?
Oh, yeah. I think it definitely will be. You know, before doing any Windows 8 applications, everything I did outside of that was a jQuery-based app. So that was a framework that I used many times. But when I started writing Windows 8 apps, my goal was to learn WinJS as much as possible and see how much I could, you know, just use that. And so far, there's been enough there. I mean, there's been like a few convenience features and stuff that I'd like to have. But overall, I've found it sufficient.
And I'll ask you the question that I've asked a number of guests about Windows 8, which is, given that the advice is always go with what you know, and so if you're a XAML programmer, go with XAML, and if you're a JavaScript programmer, go with JS, the devil's advocate question is whether XAML is, in the end, a dead-end technology.
So do I think that?
Yes.
That's your question. I think that it's not dead end. I mean, Windows Forms is still running, right? Like, it's not dead, but it's not the focus, I would say. So I would be, if I was starting from scratch, I would definitely tell people to go with JavaScript.